You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, It's a God Thing. Let me kind of jump in. I'm not going to sneak up on you. I'm just going to tell you what we're going to talk about, and then we'll explain it. I'm going to start with this question. What are you doing here? Now, there are a lot of people who show up at a church and you say, well, someone invited me, so I'm visiting. I'm cool with visitors, okay? There's a time to visit. Then other people say, well, I kind of like this church and I've been here a little while and just kind of hanging out. There may be a time to hang out. Then other people say, well, I like the music and I come because of the music. Somebody says, man, I like the preaching. Come because of the preaching. I heard it on the radio. I heard it, whatever. I Am Second been mentioned today. You know, all these things. Well, I come because of that. Let me tell you something. That isn't enough. None of that's enough. The only reason you need to be here or plugged into any church is that God himself, it has to be a God thing. You have to be able to look in the mirror, say, what am I doing here? I am here because God told me to be here. And then if something goes haywire, you don't flip out and go, oh, the preacher made me mad, or he made me cry, or this happened, something went wrong, and I'm out of here. That's it, I'm out of here. I got my panties in a wad, and I'm gone. That's in the Bible somewhere. You just have to look in the Hebrew. It's in the Hebrew. You say, well, I'm burned out on church, and something happened a long time ago, and I'm kind of easing back in. I'm okay with all that for a little while, but I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later, you got to pick. You got to choose. You got to commit. You got to be in or out. You got to pick a lane. Now, what we do a lot of times, and I think I'm guilty of this here, is that we get, you know, it's kind of like a bug light, and we get a little bit of everybody. But just because you come in a flake doesn't mean you have to stay a flake. And if you're all over the board and woe is me and my life is jacked up and my family was this and my parents were that and this happened to me, we'll ease you through all of that. But sooner or later, you're going to have to grow up and pick a lane. And I'm not talking about picking a lane by saying, oh, I just really connected to Pastor Ellis. You don't need to be connected to me primarily. You need to be connected to him and get you some orders from on high. And then when anything goes wrong, you go, this wasn't my decision. God told me to be here. Because something's going to go wrong. Something isn't going to work. And you are going to get upset. Somebody's going to look at you funny. You're not going to like something that happens. And then, boom, you're out of here. And I've been dealing with this for, you know, 150 years, it feels like. Just plowing people through here. Well, that happened, I'm out of here. So sometimes we celebrate the down and out and the people who come in, but today I would like to celebrate some people who have stayed. Some people who, it's not always fun, it's not always easy, it doesn't always go their way. But basically, if I said, take out your little visitor's card here, and if you're able to do this, I'm not going to ask you to do this, so embarrass people doing it or not doing it, but here's what I would love to ask you to do. Take your registration card out there and write on there, this is my church. This one. Not two or three around town. This one is my church. You say, well, this is not my church. That's okay. You got to move to, this is my church somewhere. You cannot be floating the rest of your life. It's not biblical. It doesn't work. Women don't like it when men get married and live that way. Sooner or later, you got to say, this is my wife. And you go home. Yep. And that was from a single woman right there. Now, where is this coming from? I think we've just, you know, I've never been drunk. I've sipped on a few things here and there, but just can't do it. I've told you before, I can't drink anything going in that looks the same way coming out. It just doesn't compute for me. But at some point, if you are addicted to something in a positive way, let's say you drink a little bit. Drinkers start out sipping and seeing and little, how are you, little cocktail parties. If you keep moving, you end up in a liquor store with a brown bag around the hardest stuff you can afford out somewhere slamming it, not messing around. This has got to move to hard liquor or it ain't working. If you think you're going to come here and just get you a little taste of God indefinitely, I'm okay with it up front. Some of you people say, well, I'm just checking this out, man. You're going to get a tattoo everybody today or something, you know? So you say, well, I don't like the music. I'm going to go somewhere else. If God told you to come and stay, sit down and stay. You say, well, I don't like it. You know what? Life ain't about liking everything. And people who finally grow up in any category go, you know what? It isn't about that. It could be different, but this is where I am. There are a lot of women look at their husband in the morning and go, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, he can't even find his belly button anymore. He's so big. You know, what happened to my husband? I mean, an innie is one thing. A gawny is another. You know, it just disappeared. So women wake up and go, I don't want this guy anymore. And they walk out. Okay, you can do that, but it doesn't work out. There's something about picking a place and staying. But at some point, it has to be a God thing. And you say, well, soon this will be over and I'll be out of here. I understand that, and you may be out of here. But you're going to have to land somewhere someday, or Christianity is not going to work for you. It won't make any sense. You pick a family, and you stick. Now let's go to... Before I read these verses, let me go to another category, and I understand I talk about getting married and marriage, and not everybody marries. There are people who apply the same principle to getting married that they do to church. She's hot. He's cute. He's stable. He'll be able to provide for my family and children. We got all these reasons. You don't marry someone unless you can climb in your closet and say, God, is this the person you want me to marry? Not we have great sex, not we'd look good together. You better get you some answers on these huge decisions in life, or you're going to live and die a flake and wonder why you're all over the board. The book says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You at some point have to go to God. And the thing that makes it so important in marriage is all hell is going to break loose. It's like riding motorcycles. It's not if you're going to have an accident. It's when. So if you choose to marry someone, you are in trouble. So you look at the person, you look at God and say, Father, it looks great, but I have to get an answer from you. This has to be a God thing, or it'll be no thing sooner or later. And when the book says what God had joined together, let not man put asunder, it is because it is almost impossible when God puts two people together to tear them up. It's not that it can't be done, but it is almost impossible because you start out with something that works. There are bumps, more than bumps in the road. There are holes in the road, sinkholes in the road that you fall in and you can't get out. And you say, God, I don't want to be here maybe. I can't take this anymore. And then you hear this voice inside of you, the same voice that got you in the deal, says, stay. I don't feel it. I don't want it. I know he said stay. So you hold on. You duct tape yourself to the seat and you hang on. Now, at some point, you've got to have these kind of things. You say, well, but I didn't go through all this when I got married. Then do it now. Because the second you commit, the devil goes, oh, really? Oh, you want to do the God thing? Bring it. I got crew for that. And then he just starts, you know, punching. And when you get hit and when you go down, you look at each other and you say, we didn't dream this up. This was not my idea. This was God's idea. And when you have that going in, or you establish it at some place along the way, then you don't have arguments and discussions about getting divorced and all this mess that comes into relationships. You say, look, we're not going there because it's not an option. We're going to figure this out because God put us together, period. Now, how do you get to this stuff? Go to Genesis chapter 12. And this is one of the stories. The Bible is full of this stuff, but there's only so much time to tell a few of these and read you some verses. So I'm going to read you a ton of verses like I try to do and try to go left to right as much as possible. Genesis chapter 12. And this is a pretty huge, fundamental, basic example of where this kind of thing started in the faith even. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, his name is not Abraham yet, it's Abram, said what his instructions were. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. God said, go, and he'd had no idea where he was going. Had no idea where he was going. But he obeyed God and went with him. Now, what kind of faith does it take when God says, do this? You say, well, God, what are we doing? He said, I didn't tell you that. I told you to obey me and trust me and just go. Now, how do you get to this place where you have some kind of relationship? Because people say to me, well, good for you. Well, God spoke to him. If he'd speak to me, I'd do whatever he tells me to do. He's been trying to speak to you for years. Well, if God would just send me a note and write it down and show me what to do, I'd do it. Well, here's your note right here. You say, no, I mean more specific stuff. If you won't do what's written down, why in the world would he show you stuff that's not written down? If you're all in on something, you narrow the parameters. You say, no, I'm not interested in just dating around. I'm looking for the one. And it is amazing when you go looking for specific things, how God gets more specific in his answers. You know, I love people say, oh, God, bless the missionaries. What does that mean? Who? Pick one. Bless all the poor people. Why don't you bless some poor people? Meet you some poor people. Oh, you meant that person. No, I wasn't interested in that guy. I was just talking about you bless the poor people. I'm busy. You get more and more specific. Then God starts getting more and more specific. And then you get more and more committed. And now you're in the game. And you say, well, but that'll be horrible. There's no better way to live. Abram goes. Why did he go? Because God told him to. Now, this is where I'm trying to get today with you guys. I want you to get to the place in your relationship with God where when he speaks, you don't just listen. You know it's him. And when he tells you to do something, you do it. And if he tells you to leave a church, you leave a church. If he tells you to come to a church and stay, you stay. And you get committed and you get plugged in and you grow and you get some real biblical fellowship, not just hanging out. Go to Psalm 25, a few pages to the right. Psalm 25, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those who be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. You say, I don't know what to pray when I pray. Get you Psalm 25 and read it to God. Say, God, I don't know how to articulate this. Why do we sell cards in shops? I have a really hard time with this, going to buy cards. Because you get these mushy cards to my wife, and I'm like, what is this card? Dude, just tell her yourself. You know why there are cards? Because some guys don't know what to say. So they read a card and they go, well, that's how I'm feeling. I'll buy that one. I'll give her that. And then she'll know that's how I feel. You say, well, that's impersonal. It's better than love, Bob. Especially if you leave the comma out. More of a request or command in that case. Thought this was about me today. You say, well, everybody knows how to express themselves. No, they don't. And until you get there, maybe you need some help. So we've literally got prayers in the Bible. So you go, God, that's how I'm feeling. That's what's going on with me. Well, then tell me, read that to me. Tell me that's how you feel. Let's have a conversation about that. Now, when you're thinking about that, then go back at it. Show me your ways, O Lord. God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Teach me your paths. I'm going my way and getting into trouble. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I'm not going anywhere till you talk to me. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, look at what it says, because of who he is, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. You can't come casually to God. You can at first, but you can't keep it up. I'm okay with non-Christians searching. I'm okay with baby Christians learning. I'm okay with adolescent, you know, all this process, going through the process. But at some point, if you are in the process, you are growing. And if you're growing, you are growing up, and it will change. You will stick somewhere. Go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verse 1. This is a real person really writing things down that he was really saying to God. Okay, this is not just, I got a quota to meet here because I'm publishing Psalms and the publisher is required that I turn in so many poems. This is a guy where you're getting to hear his heart. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. You ever feel that? My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. You ever said that to God? God, you got to hurry. I'm tired of praying, God. I'm in trouble up in here. You got to do something fast. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. You don't know what to pray to God? Pray that one. I got more verses. Let's see. We don't have time for that one. No, we do. We won't read all of it. Isaiah 48, and I'm going to jump in at verse 16. Isaiah, go to the right. It's over there. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Now, this is God speaking here. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. In other words, I'm not sneaking around whispering things and you don't know what's going on. From the time that it was, I was there, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, which is not about making money here, by the way, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Look at the connection though. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then you'd have this peace flowing like a river. There is consequence. You say, well, I've got my ticket to heaven and that's it. I'm not doing anything else. You are going to do something else. You cannot live the way you want to live and claim to be a child of God, because if you are his child, he's coming after you. If he doesn't, you should wonder if you're even his child. He disciplines those that he loves. Is he being mean? No. Did I spank my kids to be mean? No. It was to save their lives in some ways.
So they know something about authority. So they know when yes and no, when it's appropriate. And so that they would shift this obedience thing to God so that when God would speak, it's not my voice they hear anymore. It's his voice they hear. And they go, you know what? It was better to obey because we were disciplined. When we disobeyed, there was consequence. And I think the same is probably true with God. And they find out quick that it is. You can do whatever you want to do, but do not presume upon God that there will be no consequence. All right, what else have I got here? All right, go to John 10. Now, I understand you say, well, I'm not worried. Wherever you're describing, I'm not there yet. I'm still a little flaky. I'm still running back and forth to my sin. I'm not sure I'm all in, all that. I'm okay with that. And maybe I'm not even talking to you today. I'm talking to the people who know better. It is time to stink and grow up. Well, I just, you know, there's so many great churches. Then how in the world did you ever get married? I used to tell single guys, I was a singles minister at a big church in Dallas years ago, and there were guys that would start in North Dallas, would hit the single Sunday school out there, that one would finish, they'd run down the toll road to the next church on their big church stop, check those chicks out, and then they'd blow in my doors. I'd say, dude, you're looking for a wife? You can't even pick a church. How are you going to pick a wife if you can't even commit to a church? And what kind of woman are you going to pick if she is, you know, you're probably passing each other on the highway anyway. Stop, stick, and get committed someplace. Then you might actually attract a woman who is committed to someone who's committed. Absolutely. Answer all her prayers over there, Lord. John chapter 10, verse 1. Then maybe we're done. Almost. Verse 1, most assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And I don't have time to explain all this, but it's just simple sheep and shepherd stuff. That was a pretty good explanation, wasn't it? But here's what I'm trying to get to. To him the doorkeeper opens, and listen to this, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Do you know the shepherd's voice in your Christian life? And there's craziness out there now. There are these prophet kind of people, and I'm not discounting what God can speak. Someone comes up, and God told me that you should be such and such. You know what? I don't want to be listening to you. I got to listen to what God's telling me and back it up with some scripture. And then if he confirms it with somebody out of nowhere saying it, I feel okay. You can't be bottle fed the rest of your life. I can only give you so many verses. I can only encourage you when you get back out on the field, you leave here, you get back into your life. You have got to eat for yourself. You've got to talk with God by yourself with other people. You've got to build a relationship so that when you've got questions, you get answers from him. And when you make a decision, you go, God, this was you, wasn't it? He says, yeah, this is me.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
I used to ask my mama, Mama, you know, how am I going to know? This makes me so mad to even tell this story. Mama, I met this girl. How am I going to know she's the right one? Well, sweetie, when you know, you know. I still think that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. What does that mean? I thought it was stupid. Do you know till when? When I knew that I knew. I did not marry my wife because I loved her, because I thought she was hot, because I thought she was smart, all creative, all these things that I think. I married her because I believe that God told me to. And that he would bless it and help us, which he's done.
And I'm not sure we would have made it without him. I really don't know that we would have made it without him. You need to get you some slabs poured in your little heart and soul, maybe in a relationship, maybe in a church. And you say, God, is this my church? And he may say, yeah, this is your home. This is it. And you say, okay, Lord, then let's build something. I'll be here until you move me, and he can move you, but you need to know it's him.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.